Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link this Monday, the 5th of June. Here in Germany, it's a public holiday. I'm Jane Ayeko Kumet.
With me, Wanjiko Mwaura.
In today's edition, court in South Africa fails to hear the case against Economic Freedom Fighters Party leader Julius Malema as calls for land expropriation grow.
We are no longer just going to talk. We talk amongst ourselves, but we must act. We are not going to wait for politicians. We shall also not wait for the constitution. When white people took our land, you know, they don't have a constitution.
And on social media, the conversation is raging after Qatar was cut off by neighboring countries, including Saudi Arabia. We bring you comments on that as well.
DW takes its migration dilemma project to the grassroots and gets to listen to the cries of the young people.
What I would like the authorities to do is to provide jobs for us so we can stay in the country and work and also be part of the economic development of our country.
Those stories and a lot more coming up shortly, but first here is what's been happening around the world.
Isaac Mugabe with DW News. Six Arab countries, including Saudi Arabia and Egypt, have cut diplomatic ties with Qatar, accusing it of destabilizing the region. They say Qatar backs militant groups, including the so-called Islamic State, IS, and Al-Qaeda, which Qatar denies. The countries are Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, and Yemen. Qatar lashed out at the decision, saying it has no basis in the fact. DW spoke to Simon Mabon, international relations analyst, on the impact this will have on the region.
We've seen Qatari forces being withdrawn from the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen, and we'll, I'm sure, see some kind of ramifications in Syria. But then I imagine, depending on which way the Qataris take it, we could see an escalation with Qatar providing more financial support to groups like the Muslim Brotherhood.
The latest on the Gulf Arab States dispute with Qatar is that the head of Germany's Soccer Federation says that political solutions must have priority over threats of boycotts in the 5 years ahead of the World Cup in Qatar. British police say they have seized a large amount of forensic material after raids in London and Essex. With 12 people arrested so far, officers are working to establish whether the attackers were operating as part of a network. The UK counter-terrorism police chief, Mark Rowley, urged those with any additional information to come forward and inform the authorities.
Work is ongoing to understand more about them, about their connections, and about whether they were assisted or supported by anyone else. I ask the public to remain calm but vigilant, and if you see anything suspicious, no matter how insignificant you think it might be, please don't hesitate to contact the police.
The trial of Economic Freedom Fighters leader Julius Malema has been postponed in Bloemfontein Magistrate Court until October 27th, pending an application by him in the Constitutional Court. The case stems from 2014 when he encouraged EFF members at the party's election congress to illegally occupy land. Disparities in ownership of land in South Africa remain, with white South Africans owning large chunks of land compared to blacks in the country. You are still listening to DW's News. Germany's foreign minister said that Berlin has no choice but to withdraw the Bundeswehr or German troops deployment from the strategic base in Turkey. Authorities have considered several countries for the relocation of the troops, including Jordan. Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu on Monday said that it will continue to block a delegation of German lawmakers from visiting the strategic Incirlik military base. West African regional group ECOWAS has in principle approved Morocco's membership application despite the country being in North Africa. But ECOWAS leaders meeting in Liberia said the implications of its membership still needed to be considered before Morocco could formally join. King Mohammed VI was not at the summit because Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had been invited. A man who had been fired in April from his job at a Florida company in the U.S. has opened fire at the Orlando area business, killing five people before taking his own life. This is according to authorities. Four people were killed at the scene, while the fifth died at the hospital. For more news, visit our website, dw.com/Africa. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.
This is Africa Link on DW with me, Jane Ayeko Kumet.
And me, Wanjiko Mwaura.
Now we start the program in South Africa. The case against the Economic Freedom Fighters leader Julius Malema was today postponed at a magistrate court in South Africa. Malema is accused of inciting landless people to illegally occupy land. However, as Tuso Kumalo reports, the call for land to be taken without compensation is increasing, and some in towns are now resorting to land invasion.
The case did not go ahead as expected, after the prosecution asked the court to postpone it to October 27th to give room to a court application in which the EFF leader Julius Malema wants another court to declare the Rioters Assemblies Act unconstitutional. Malema is facing charges of contravening the act by calling his supporters to invade unoccupied land during his party's first elective conference in Bloemfontein in December 2014.
We are going to occupy the unoccupied land because we need the land. For us to eat, we must have the land. For us to work, we must have the land. If there is an open land, we'll go and occupy there. And those who get into trouble with the law, the EFF must intervene.
Malema's party is advocating for the expropriation of land without compensation. This call has been well received by many poor black people. A group calling itself Black First, Land First is among the groups supporting Malema's call. Its leader, Andile Mkhithama, alleges that 80% of the country's land is in the hands of the minority whites. Mkhithama says he wants that to change to accommodate millions of landless blacks.
We are going to come with a bold statement on land, which is going to unite all of us black people in this country. We are no longer just going to talk. We talk amongst ourselves, but we must act. We are not going to wait for politicians. We shall also not wait for the constitution. When white people took our land, you know, they did not have a constitution.
On its side, the government says 79% of the land is in the hands of private individuals and companies, though it does not specify if it's in the hands of its black or white citizens. The legal route of land distribution in South Africa is through the willing buyer, willing seller model, but the ruling ANC says this has failed to deliver enough land for the majority blacks.
Tuso Kumalo in Johannesburg. Now from South Africa, we come back here in Europe. A day after a van and knives terror attack that killed 7 people, Londoners went back to work with a spirit of defiance. Saturday's night's atrocity weighed heavily on the minds of Londoners, but this did not stop many from flocking the charity show in Manchester. It was an emotional event on Sunday as tons of them turned up to pay their tribute to the victims of last month's terror attack. Pop singer Ariana Grande returned to the city to perform, and she was joined by other stars in a show of solidarity with the victims' families. David Lifts reports.
It was a chance for Manchester to celebrate its resilience. A sea of 50,000 people came together for the concert dubbed One Love Manchester. The star-studded lineup included Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, and Coldplay. Mumford & Sons frontman Marcus Mumford led a moment of silence for the victims.
Let's not be afraid.
Security was high. Many in the crowd were witnesses or survivors of the attack. The concert featured British pop giants Take That and former band member Robbie Williams. U.S. star Pharrell Williams also took the stage. Miley Cyrus joined him in a duet for the city of Manchester. The British Red Cross said the concert raised more than £10 million for those affected by the attack. Ariana Grande closed out the evening just 2 weeks after the bombing at her last concert. As Britain comes to grips with yet more attacks, it was an emotional night for her and for Manchester.
David Levitt reporting.
Now, Jen, still on the international front, you know that more than four nations have cut their ties with Qatar, accusing the Gulf state of supporting terrorism. Therefore, among the countries are Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain also announced that they're withdrawing their diplomats from Qatar.
Yes, I've been following this story as well, and I did realize that it reads lots of comments from our social media platform. But why is it really of such much interest?
Well, because first of all, it affects us directly or indirectly. And one way it does that, if you're traveling from any part of the world to Qatar, the flights will operate normally, but only for today. But from early hours of tomorrow, airlines like Emirates, Etihad and Fly Dubai will not fly to Qatar.
And how have people been reacting to this? I know that there have been lots of comments flowing in, but I'm rather interested in hearing some of them that you've been able to pick out.
Yes, Mary Yaya says she wants to know what the situation is. She is particularly concerned about Nigerians and other foreigners working there. Emilia Mark says, me too. My friend has been working there for 3 years and is supposed to be US bound on the 25th. What does this mean for foreigners there?
What that means for foreigners there, we will continue with that at a later time. But first, we go back to another story. In our own Deutsche Welle has been running a multimedia project known as the Migration Dilemma. Funded by the German's foreign ministry, it aims at exposing the realities and challenges of illegal migration. Now, beyond what we air here on our Africa Link and also on our different media channels, DW, in partnership with Yachoki FM, took the project to the ground, namely Ivory Coast, capital city of Abidjan. Jen Nyingi with the details.
The public debate was attended by different stakeholders who freely expressed their views on the migration crisis. Ivorian Youth Minister Sidi Tiemoko said just like many African countries, they are faced with youth unemployment challenge, but that should not push them to flee the country.
To the youth who would like to embark on an adventure across the Mediterranean, I pity them. The El Dorado you're searching for elsewhere is actually right here, because there are many opportunities here in Ivory Coast that you can grab at low cost.
Alassane Diakate, one of the returnees from Libya, spoke of the hardships and mistreatment of migrants on the hands of Libyan authorities.
What I would like the authorities to do is to provide jobs for us so we can stay in the country and work and also be part of the economic development of our country. Definitely, if that is done, I will stay here and find work.
The discussion was broadcast across Ivory Coast via DW's partner station, Yakoi FM. It will be followed by four further debates in Gambia, Nigeria, Ghana and Guinea. DW's Africa Programme's head, Klaus Stecker, expressed satisfaction over the project's achievement and public response. The project targets West African countries, being the origin of many migrants.
Jen Nyingi reporting.
Today is the World Environment Day.
Yes, Wanjiku, it's World Environment Day, and I know that you've been following what people have been talking about on our social media, and I'm eager to hear what they've been saying.
Yes, but right before we get into their comments, 85 countries sent representatives to New York to discuss how to improve protection of the world's oceans. And of course, they will be also talking about climate change and rising sea levels.
Yeah, I know that they'll also be talking about the decision last week by the US president, of course, to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement.
Comment from Mohamed Kaif, world-renowned cricketer, says, well, the greatest threat to our planet is the belief that someone else will save it. Let's start with ourselves. And then using the hashtag World Environment Day, which has been trending all day. John from Kenya says, I used to think that Donald Trump will make at least one sober decision in his term, but I gave up when he decided that the US should pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement.
And Peter Amang says, let's remember that it's upon you and I to ensure that our environment is nurtured for it to be of a good benefit to all of us.
And Lee says, it will be a happy World Environment Day when we take care of our environment first.
I tend to agree with that one, Wanjiku. And on that note, we leave it at that for now. This is DW's Africa Link, broadcasting from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Jane Ayeko Kumet.
With me, Wanjiko Mwaura.
Still to come, new findings reveal that two officials who administered the measles vaccine that killed 15 children in South Sudan were themselves children.
Vaccines are safe if they follow the guidelines.
And on social media, in case you're wondering, how can I comment on this show? Go over to our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Now, youth unemployment remains a big challenge for many governments in Africa. In Ghana, the German Institute for International Cooperation, GIZ, is rolling out an innovative model in which participants are taught to develop electric gadgets. It's a unique project in that it targets girls who often feel that electronics is something for the boys. Isaac Kalechi visited the school and spoke to some of the girls.
So I want to do a recap of whatever we've done previously, isn't it? Right.
A facilitator taking some young girls through mathematics lessons at the Accra Vocational Institute in Ghana's capital as part of their course. The girls aged between 17 and 25 years are studying electronics in order to develop skills of building all kinds of electrical gadgets. Over a period of 3 years, they hope to acquire these skills and get better jobs.
This is an LED that we use before you need to test and see whether it is working or not. We have positive and negative terminals.
One of the girls at their practical labs is talking to me about a gadget she is working on. It appears there is some progress as the girls can now develop all kinds of electronic gadgets, including phone chargers, electronic displays, among others. Some of them share their stories.
It's been good because when I was in the house, I didn't know much about electronics, and people used to say that electronics is for guys. But when I came into the system, I know that the electronics is not only for guys, but for ladies, and ladies can do better. I can do a lot, water alarm. I can even make a rain detector and also extension board.
To be frank with you, when we were not here, we didn't know how to even do soldering, fix components on a PC board. But through this, we've been able to know how to do this, and even we've even done a display.
The program, Female Professionals in Electronics, is being supported by the German government through the GIZ office in Ghana. Christian Wittmann is head of the Program for Sustainable Economic Development at the GIZ, which oversees this project. He talks about the impact his agency hopes to achieve.
We want to see that both girls and boys get a very good training, especially those in the informal sector, because you have to see that 80 to 90% of the Ghanaian economy is informal economy, so people get jobs usually in formal sector. But we want to see that as much as possible people after such training get a good job, but it's also about the Ghanaian economy, that the companies become more competitive, more productive.
Afi Agbenyo is a technical advisor at the GIZ and the focal person for this program. She says the model runs in three other schools in the country. Afi says the feedback from industries where these girls go for internship has shown that the program is making much impact.
We did an impact assessment, for example, of their internship, and then we had tremendous attitudinal change because apart from the skills that they're getting, they've become more assertive. Their dreams are becoming larger with the skills that they have.
Funding of the program so far is coming from the GIZ, with support also from Samsung Electronics and the Korean government. However, there are hopes the Ghanaian government in the near future could take up the responsibility and expand the model.
Isaac Kalechi in Accra, Ghana.
And Abayomi from Lagos, Nigeria says this is a very good development in Africa and for young girls. African women will be the ones taking Africa out of poverty. Another user from Nigeria says young women's education is vital, especially in the African nations.
Perhaps education for everybody.
Health check.
In South Sudan, two of the officials who carried out the vaccination that killed 15 children were themselves children aged 12 and 13. This is the latest information released by the Ministry of Health. Investigations continue into a case where what was meant to save life ended up taking lives. Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
The incident is first of its kind to be reported in the country 7 years after it got its independence. An investigation backed by WHO and UNICEF revealed that the 15 children who died were from Nachodokepele village in Kapoita State. Most of them are said to be under the age of 5. 32 more children suffered negative reactions after the vaccination but recovered. Health Minister Riagai said the government has been saddened by the incident.
The Minister of Health has commissioned a multi-agency administrative committee to review the AEFI report and give appropriate recommendations for further actions to improve immunization service delivery.
A government inquiry found that the needles used for vaccination were dirty, used repeatedly, and the vaccines were not refrigerated. The workers administering the vaccinations were also unqualified, as Health Minister Riagai explains.
Evidence gathered by the investigators indicates that the vaccination team did not adhere to the WHO approved immunization safety standards. A single reconstitution syringe was used for multiple vaccines, while for the entire 4 days of the campaign, instead of being discarded after single use, the reuse of the reconstitution syringe causes it to become contaminated, which in turn contaminates the measles vaccine, vials, and infects the vaccinated children.
According to Guy, two of the workers who carried out the vaccination were children aged 12 and 13 years. WHO country director in South Sudan, Abdul Momin Asman, says the campaign was meant to prevent an outbreak of measles in the country. He says this year alone, at least 70 children died of measles across different parts in South Sudan.
This lesson that we have learned, there should not also be a source of preventing the continuation of vaccination. Vaccines are safe if they follow the guidelines.
The health officials both say the risk of measles and other vaccine-preventable diseases in South Sudan remains extremely high because of the challenges being faced by the health system. They say the country has experienced significant measles outbreaks among unprotected population caused by a backlog of unvaccinated children in insecure areas.
Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
And a user says the vaccine should be made illegal, otherwise it might cause more deaths.
Interesting comment there on that very unpleasant report. Now, on sports, I have here Felix Tamsat, who joined me earlier on before we came to the studio to talk about some sport. And we started on talking about transfers in the sports clubs here in Germany and elsewhere. And we started off with Dortmund, that is said to have already signed up PSG defender Dan Axel Zagadou. I asked Felix what he brings to the club.
Zagadou is an 18-year-old defender from PSG. He's touted one of Europe's most talented defenders, certainly one of France's most talented defenders. He won't get a lot of minutes in the beginning, but he will be in the first team squad, and then it really depends what he will do with the chances he'll get. He certainly has the ability and has the potential to go very far.
Do we already know how much Dortmund is paying for this person?
It's a free transfer, basically. His contract is up, so he just moves to Borussia Dortmund.
Okay, now we stay in Dortmund, and till now, talk was that French club Saint-Germain was eyeing Aubameyang, but the latest that is coming out, however, is that the Bundesliga scorer could suddenly be landing a good deal with Arsenal. Can you shed some more light on this one?
Rumor has it that PSG are really, really interested in Aubameyang. They're willing to pay a lot of money, both to the player and to BVB. And as of now, it seems like they're in the lead in the chase of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Arsenal could use a striker, definitely. And when you have someone in the shape of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, they would certainly be interested. But considering Arsene Wenger's past transfers, I don't think that's going to happen. PSG is way more likely, considering The cultural aspect as well, the fact that his French is absolutely perfect and his English is not so much. My bet would be that he will end up at PSG unless something amazing happens and he ends up elsewhere. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Now, Felix, let's have a quick reflection on Saturday match. Of course, we all know what happened in Cardiff there. Much as many predicted that Real would win, as it did, there were equally those who believed in Juventus. And indeed, at the beginning of the match, they put up a good fight, I thought so, but it wasn't enough. What is your take on how the match went?
Basically, this Real team is unbelievable. This Real team is something that no pundit would expect. They would be so good in such a short period of time under Zinedine Zidane, their new coach. It's his first role as manager. In 18 months, he's won absolutely everything apart from the local cup in Spain. That's unheard of. Two Champions League back-to-backs. Really, there are no words to describe how good this Real Madrid team is, and they're only going to get stronger.
Felix, we won't leave this until we talk about tennis. And of course, when it comes to tennis, at this point in time, we are going to be talking about the French Open. Now, there have been some shocks and surprises there since the tournament started. Now, let's focus on the ladies. German's Angelique Kerber lost it in the very first round. Now we have Williams off, and also Muguruza is off. Where do we turn our eyes now?
To be honest, women tennis, specifically the French Open, has been so unexpected this year that I'm simply not willing to make a prediction. It can go anywhere. I really don't want to make a prediction, but it's good for us as neutrals. We enjoy good tennis. We enjoy surprises. Let's hope it's going to continue, because it's always interesting to see new faces.
DW's Felix Tamsut with that sports update.
Are you a blogger in Nigeria? Do you care about improving your environment? If the answer to all these questions is yes, then DW is calling on you to use your talent to inspire others and participate in the Digital Heroes Generation Nigeria competition. Go to dw.com/digitalheroesng and submit your best work that answers the question, what do you want to do about the environment? You can win a 2-week internship here at DW. For more details, check out dw.com/Africa.
Yes, what do you want to do about the environment? Wanjiku.
First of all, one thing you have to know, we listened to you, we extended the date, and now the new deadline is 12th June. So you still have a couple of days to still submit what your ideas are about conserving the environment, and what better day than today, World Environment Day. So keep sending your submissions and wait to win. I hope. I cross my fingers for you.
And of course, for those of you who yet don't know what the prize is, it is an internship here in Deutsche Welle for 2 weeks. That would be a nice experience. Anyhow, Wanjiku, let's get back to what our listeners have been commenting about on social media.
So today, Zambia was playing against Italy. This is in the Under-20 World Cup quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they did not perform so well, and people were a bit disappointed, especially after they did a great performance against Germany in the Zambia-Germany match, where they won 4-3. So Germany got 3 and Zambia 4.
So what's been the talk anyway? That's what I want to hear.
Yes, Robbie says, well done, boys. You did your best. Of course, people are still proud that they would have been the second African team in the Under-20 to win the cup if they had gone ahead. Amos Park says, as Africans, we are behind Zambia, but the fans make it hard for us, of course.
I like this one, Roderick Usei, who says, I'm proud of our African counterparts.
Very simple, but short.
I like people who take pride in others, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Akofang says, hearts out to these young soldiers. They played their hearts out. So proud of Chipolopolo Jr.
And another Sanguini says, what a game. Zambia missed so many chances, but nevertheless, they did a good job.
And Kalusha Bwala, who was the African Bowler of the Year in 1988, went on to Twitter to encourage the boys, saying, hold your heads up high, you made Zambia and Africa proud.
Yes, they made Zambia and Africa proud. I'm so proud of them. That's all we had time for them today. Thank you for them and, of course, for our listener. Thank you for listening to Africa Link from me, Jen Ayeka Kumet.
And me, Wanjiku Mwaura.
Have a nice day.